Balak was in a terrible state of panic. He had seen already Bnei Yisrael level Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim has been destroyed, left for nothing, and the Bnei Yisrael makes their way through the desert as they come closer and closer towards Midian and Moab. And the future of Moab and Midian were at stake, and he was desperate. So, as we know, Balak sends a delegation to Bilam. Bilam HaRasha, Bilam the Navi, for the rest of the nations of the world, to bring him in and to figure out a plan to stop all of Bnei Yisrael from coming. And he says, you have to act now, they're coming to destroy us, and you should curse them and drive them out of our land, it's an emergency. So Bilam, he receives these royal messengers and he doesn't want to take them, and he says, I can't really help you because I need permission from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I can't curse Bnei Yisrael, I can't help you out until I get the okay from the Ribono Shel Olam. So he says, let's come up with a plan. Stay here tonight, we'll sleep a little bit on it, and maybe Hashem will give me a hint, will give me some sort of idea of what I'm supposed to do. So Hashem appears to Bilam in the evening, and he says, Hashem opens up to him, and he gives him a chance to speak, and he says, so, what do the people of Moab want from you? What's going on? No, Bilam, what's the story? So they say, they want me to curse Bnei Yisrael, but I need to get permission. So Hashem says, don't go with them. And Bnei Yisrael are blessed, as Rashi explains. They have a lot of zechuyos, and whatever you do is not going to make a difference. And Rashi fills us in on the rest of the explanation. He says that Hashem said, I want to go curse, Bilam says, I want to go curse the Jews. And Hashem said, you can't go anywhere. And he says, well, maybe I can curse them from over here. I don't have to travel. It'll be easier. I'll do it remotely. And Hashem says, no, no cursing at all. And finally, Bilam says, can I at least give them a bracha? And Hashem says, no, it's better. Your brachos are not going to be so helpful. I don't need the honey, right? I don't need the sting from the bee. Just, I don't need anything from you. You stay put. And Bnei Yisrael are just fine without your help, Bilam. And Bilam doesn't know what to do. And everything is left as it is. And then, later on, Bilam tells Hashem, but they're going to offer me money, right? He says, they're going to offer me money. And he says that that is fine. And very confusing, because the delegation comes back to Bilam and says, no, 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 we want you to come, right? Balak thinks that maybe Bilam wants extra cover, he wants extra money. And they finally sweeten the deal, and they offer him a lot of money, a malay base of kesef and zahav, a house full of all these treasures for him to go. And we'll give you all the kavod that comes with it. So he checks with Hashem, and Hashem says he's allowed to go. And it's very, very confusing. What happened? Originally, Hashem says, you don't go. You're not allowed to go. There's actually a beautiful piece from the Beis Halevi, not on the Beis Halevi itself, but the Beis Yitzchak, is Rav Yitzchak Reitbart, who's a Talmud of the Beis Halevi. He says that there was a confusion between Bilam and Balak. Why was it at the end of the whole episode that Balak was so upset with Bilam? Right? Balak is furious that Bilam couldn't curse Bnei Yisrael. But I don't understand. Bilam told him at the beginning of the entire episode, where we're standing right now, that I can't curse them. What happened? Why is he so upset? He knew this information beforehand, right? A person has a broken computer and you bring it to the IT guy, and the IT guy says, you know, I might not be able to fix it. I can't do it. So he comes back 2 days later to get his computer, and the guy says, I'm sorry, I just couldn't do it. So do you throw a fit, and do you yell at the IT guy? And he says, what's wrong with you? You told me you were going to fix it. No, the IT guy said, I can't fix the computer. What is not clear? So Bilam told Balak, I can't fix it. I can't curse them. What is Balak freaking out for? So the Beis Halevi said, there's two different ways a person can say, Eini Yachol, that I'm not able to. A person can say, I'm not able to, because I just emotionally can't do it. I don't have my heart into it. The IT guy says, you know, I can't fix your computer. I'm just not there. I don't have the right presence of mind. I just don't have the koach to really go and fix your computer. Or, says the Beis Halevi, a person can say, I can't do it. I cannot physically do this. A person says, can you please lift up this house? And the person says, I can't do it. I can't lift up a large building by myself. Does the person mean, I just don't have the neshama and the ruchnius and the wherewithal to lift up a building? No. What the person means is, I physically cannot lift up a building. So that was the mixed message between Bilam and Balak. when Bilam said, I can't curse the Jewish people, Balak thought that that meant, I can't curse them because it's just not the right thing, they're the Am Hashem, whatever reason. But what Bilam meant was, no, you don't understand. I am unable, it is not possible for me to curse the Jewish people. Says the Beis HaLevi, that's where the messages got mixed up. But nevertheless, we are left with this issue. What changed? How come when he wakes up in the morning and they offer him a lot of money, therefore he's allowed to go? All of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now Bilam's financier. He's making sure Bilam is going to get some money for this. Before, he says, you know, really, I don't think it's a good idea. It's not good for your reputation. Do it for free. People take advantage for you. It's better you don't go. But now they're going to pay you, Bilam. Go right ahead. It's the good idea, the best deal for you. You should make sure you get benefits as well. Maybe a bonus in the third year or the fourth year, depending on how you perform. What is going on? Why all of a sudden, when money is involved, does the plan change and Bilam is now able to go curse the Jewish people? We know that Bilam loves money. When the Pasuk says that he's Bilam ben Beor, who's from Pasura, he's from the area of Pasur. So Rashi there says, what does it mean he's from Pasur? Rashi cites the Targum. The Targum says that Pasur in the Targum means a shulchan, a table. That Bilam was like a shulchani. A shulchani is a money changer. Why is he like a money changer? Because people always need a money changer. People are coming and going and giving and exchanging. And the idea is that people always needed Bilam. He was always in demand. All the kings of the world needed to rely on Bilam. They sent him letters. He was always in high regard. And the question is asked, why does Rashi then call him a shulchani? A shulchani means a money changer. Couldn't Rashi have just called Bilam that he is an Adam Gadol, a big chacham, a big mumcha? He knows a lot of stuff. He's very talented. Why a shulchani? So I think the answer is because he was a shulchani because he loved money. He had such a taiva, such a desire for money and to have kavod that it was part of his nature. He couldn't get out of it. So what are we supposed to do here? How come all of a sudden he goes from pro bono to now to charging? There is a most beautiful explanation by the Radam Skarav in the Tiferes Shlomo in Parshas Balak. He writes it in two places here. We'll look at this area. He says as follows, Uvaze yuvan, kavanas Hapsukim Hanal. I want to explain to you what the Psukim mean, says the Tiferes Shlomo. Ki mikodem his hero Kadosh Baruch Hu lo selichim ahem. Originally he said, you cannot go with them. V'achar kach amar lo im likra lecha, kum lechitam, now you can go. Ulefi zanichi says, ki mikodem haya kavanasal harasha laleches barasha so bilti kabalaschar. Originally he says that the entire intent was that Bilam was going to be lishma. 100% lishma. I'm going to curse Klal Yisrael because this is the right thing to do. Morally, it's the right thing to do. Ethically, it's the right thing to do. It's better for the planet. It's better for everyone. Let's curse Klal Yisrael. This is the proper approach. Ubli gvul rak laman sinoso some because he hated them. And this, he felt, is the correct way to act. V'imhaya holech bebechina zu, says the Tiferes Shlomo, if Bilam would have gone in this path, we would not have been able to stop him. That is the power of doing something lishma. Whether you do something evil, that's lishma, or whether you do something that is positive, that's lishma. If a person acts lishame what he's doing because he thinks it's the right thing for no ulterior motives, because he thinks this is the proper thing to do, that gives that action power. Lachain, amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo seilich imam. And therefore, since Bilam was acting lishma, Hashem said, I can't let you go, because your curse would have too much potential. And therefore, Hashem arranged it now to take away the potency of his curse, to make it that they would offer him money. Al na timna ki kaved achadecha. And therefore he says, if you want to go, go. Almenas lekabel pras. We know, as the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says in the first parak, we should serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu shelo almenas lekabel pras. We should serve Hashem not in order to get a reward, because there's great potential when we serve Hashem shelo almenas lekabel pras. When we serve Hashem lishma, for the pure reason of doing the Ratzon Hashem, for the proper reason of because this is the right thing to do, so then that has amazing capabilities and koach. And then he gets up and he goes. And he goes into Darshan other Psukim. So says the Teferes Shlomo, a most beautiful explanation. Teferes Shlomo then cites, not here, but the Gemara in Tainis Chaf Dalad. The Gemara in Tainis Chaf Dalad says, B'chol yom v'yom, basko yotzas v'yamartzem kol ha'olam kula nozim b'shvil chanina b'ni. Every day, a voice comes out from Shemayim and says, the entire world is benefited and is sustained in the merit of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. What's so special about Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa? V'chanina ben Idayo bekav charuvem, mayarev Shabbos l'arev Shabbos. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa would eat just a little bit, a pound of carobs, the stuff that we get in our Tu B'Shvat bags that we always want to trade away. He would eat that for a week only, and that would sustain him the entire time. Why? Why was that equal to one another? How come he sustained the world and at the same time he ate a pound of carobs? Why was that sufficient? So says the Tiferes Shlomo, because he was not reliant on anyone. He did just what he needed to do. Chanina ben Dosa was totally lishma. He didn't take handouts from anyone. He didn't get any ulterior motives. He didn't try to make a buck off anyone. He was totally lishma in the way he acted. Totally l'shem shemayim. And therefore, his being lishma and acting for no ulterior motive was able to sustain the entire world. It has tremendous koach and ability to make a positive impact on the world. This is what the Teferes Shlomo says. I was listening the other day to a tape from Rabbi Frand from 1990. It's 26 years old. And there, Rabbi Frand said the same vort in the name of Rav Shimon Schwab. Totally by accident. He said the same vort of Shimon Schwab, not saying the Teferes Shlomo, but Rav Schwab had the same question and the same vort. Rav Schwab said that the difference was before Bilam was not, he was lishma, and then when money came into the equation, it removed the potency, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu allowed him to go. And Rav Schwab went on to continue in explaining this idea. Rav Schwab said that this explains the rise and fall of communism. This was in 1990, as communism was falling in Russia, and Rav Schwab wanted to talk about what was going on. So Rav Schwab said that communism initially was successful, not saying economically, but it became very successful as a powerful movement because it was lishma. The people who started the communist movement in order to spread around the world were doing it because they felt this was the right thing. They felt that they were impacting, the workers of the world should stand up, they should impact, there should be equality, and they acted in a lishma manner. And this made it feasible. People like Lenin and Trotsky and Marx were people who wanted to make the world better. They thought they were doing the right thing, totally l'shem shemayim, for the sake of doing the proper thing for the world. And that is why, says Rav Schwab, that they were successful initially, and it became so popular, because they acted in the proper way. Even though we might see that it was the wrong idea, or we might feel it was the wrong approach, or there might have been parts to it that were not good, nevertheless, any endeavor that's done, says Rav Schwab, for the proper mindset according to that person, not for ulterior motives, because they think this is the right thing, this is the way people should act, this is what people should do, so that thing will be successful. Just like Bilam. Was Bilam going to do the good thing? No. We can all agree that cursing Klal Yisrael was not a good thing. But he did it because he felt this was the right thing. He was doing something to enhance and better the world. And being a lishmanik enables someone to accomplish amazing things. Rav Schwab tells a story that in the 1920s in Germany, there was a parade of the communists, and there was a young man from a Jewish family who had left the fold and was marching front and center in this parade. He was at the head carrying the flags, and it was such a bizayon and a busha to the family of the Jewish community that this young man from a fine family was now marching in the front of the Communist Party in the parade in the middle of Germany. So Schwab said, how did he, was he able to do that? He didn't care that people were making fun of him, or people were saying that he was wrong, or that he was being foolish, and that the embarrassment that was coming on his family and the rest of the community. So Schwab said, because he was Lashma. He felt that he was doing the right thing, and therefore no other outside influences or any other criticism would take away from his feeling of what he was doing. And therefore, Rav Schwab says, why did communism fail in the end, and why did it fall? He says, because at a certain point, the people in the Communist Party began to not act lishma. They had offshore accounts, and they were taking money, and it began to crumble from the inside. Certainly there were economic issues and other outside things, but the pnimius, the ruchni answer to why communism fell, says Rav Schwab, is because it began to not be totally lishma, and it had ulterior motives, and people started taking money and acting in ways that were not honest to the original founders of the Communist Party and the Communist movement. And this, he says, is what Hashem was telling to Bilam, that originally your cause, your philosophy was perhaps in your mind the right thing to do, and you weren't looking to make a buck off of it. But now when you're looking to take something from other people and looking to glorify yourself through what you're doing, even though it might be an endeavor that's wrong and bad, now the koach is taken away and it won't be as potent as before. I'll give one more historical example. In the beginning of the Reform movement, so in Germany, it took time for the Reform movement to come in and to make inroads. One of the first things that the Reform movement did was to deal with the issue of education in Germany and the surrounding lands. And what they started to do was to set up free schools, because no parent, no Jewish parent, is going to take their kid out of cheder and put them in some other school with who knows what's being taught there that could take away their kid from Yiddishkeit. So what they tried to do is make another alternative that was free. Cheder costs money, but a school that's free, so that is a little bit more interesting to parents. And they opened up free schools where they taught a little bit of Torah and other things as well. And that was the first opening. How is it possible? Who's going to go work? Who's going to teach in a free school? The teachers don't get paid. The administration doesn't get paid. How could something like that, which eventually became so destructive for Klal Yisrael, how could something like that take off? How could such a school have the legs to stand on? So the answer is because the teachers and the administration in those early schools were L'shem Shemayim. They thought what they were doing was for the betterment of Klal Yisrael. And they put all their heart and soul in, even though they weren't getting paid, and they went home at night and they were hungry, and they had no place else to go because they had no salary, but they did it in a way that they thought was bettering the rest of the world. And therefore, it gave the ability to stand later on, as we see from the rest of history. The Kutzuk Rebbe was asked, how come by other religions, which have aspects that are total sheker and things that are not good for the world, other movements, they're successful. How come they take off and they do so well? And by Yiddishkeit, we see in many areas Yiddishkeit is floundering, and there are so many issues that go on, and people leave Yiddishkeit, and there's intermarriage, and so many difficulties that plague us. And other religions and other movements are doing so well, says the Kutzke Rav, because they are sheker, but they do it in an emistic fashion. They do it l'shem shemayim. They feel they're doing the right thing. We have emes. We have Torah Hashem. But often we do it in a way of sheker. We don't do it with a full heart. We do it in a way that's not totally l'shem shemayim, and we don't do it with the right intentions and kavana in order to come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore our emes doesn't get off the ground sometimes because it has an aspect of sheker to it. But their sheker is done in an emistic way, and therefore it's able to be successful. The Gemara in Brachos and Dav Zayin Amar Al tells us that Bilam was going to curse Bnei Yisrael using the moment of the day where Kadosh Baruch would get upset. Rashi and Tosus there discuss what was he going to say, what kind of a curse could he have said. He's going to say Kaleim, they should be cursed, and there's a whole discussion regarding what the curse should have been and what it was going to be like. He would simply harness the Midas Hadin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a certain aspect of the day where he used strict judgment, and Bilam was going to harness that and use that Midas Hadin, that aspect of Hashem, in order to inflict harm on Klal Yisrael. Certainly, with the focus of Lishma, he'd be able to carry out the Ratzon Hashem of Midas Hadin, meaning at that moment, Hashem was upset at Klal Yisrael, and Hashem would have done something negative. He was simply going to take that Lishma and turn it against the rest of Bnei Yisrael. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Shuvin Perek Vav, why is it fair that Mitzrayim was punished? Right? Avram was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should know that your children are going to go down to Mitzrayim and they're going to have a shibud and they're going to be enslaved and eventually they'll come out. The Rambam is discussing this in the context of the great debate of Hashgacha versus Bechira. Hashem runs the world, but at the same time we have free choice. So what happens, says the Rambam? The Mitzrayim were already lined up to do this. So why were they punished so severely? So the Rambam says, because it was a general gzeira against Bnei Yisrael, and who says the Mitzrayim need to be the ones to come in and do it? It just says they're going to go into Shibud, but who says it needs to be that they have to go and take up the reins? There was a general Gzeira, and they came in and made themselves the specific handlers of this Gzeira of Hashem. This is the sheet of the Rambam, the Ramban, Ala Torah. There, when Avraham is promised all this by Hashem, quotes the Rambam. And he finds the Rambam to be difficult for a number of reasons, and he gives a different approach. The Ramban says that the motivation of Mitzrayim was not Laman Hashem, and it was not L'shem Shemayim. Meaning, yes, it's true that there was a gzeira from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there should have been Shiva for Bnei Yisrael. And yes, it's true that the right person in the right time could have taken up the reins and could have taken this stick of Hashem and gone to hurt Bnei Yisrael, and that might have been the Ratzon Hashem. But at the same time, when a person steps in to do something that has the potential to be lishma, and they twist it, and they make it for their own reasons, and they do it to get something out of it for themselves, so that ruins it, says the Ramban. Yes, there was a gzeira from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but when Mitzrayim went above and beyond, and they turned it into their own self-fulfillment to take advantage of Bnei Yisrael, and to have a vodas parach, and to go beyond, therefore it was not within the boundary of what was the Ratzon Hashem anymore. So similarly, yes, there might have been a moment in time where it might have been the Ratzon Hashem, where the Midas Hadin, the strict judgment, could have inflicted harm on Bnei Yisrael. But once Bilam goes in and twists it and makes it to the extent that it's going to be for his money, for his kavod, so then it would not be effective anymore. There is a Gemara in Horios Daf Yudam and Beis here on the sheet. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, La'olam yasok adam b'torah v'mitzvos. A person should involve himself in Torah mitzvos. Afilu shelo lishma, shemitok shelo lishma, balishma. Famously, right, we should begin endeavors of Torah mitzvos and chesed, shelo lishma, not with the best of intentions, because eventually it will lead to the fulfillment, lishma. How do we know? Shebeschar membeis korbanos, because of the 42 korbanos, shehikriv Balak harasha, that Balak offered, zachov yatsasam imenu, Rus. He married to have great-great-granddaughter later on, Rus Hamoviah, who became the mother of Mashiach, Damar of Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Rus bas beno shel Eglon, ben beno shel Balak, Melech Moav. We see, says the Gemara in Horios, that a person can attain great things, even though it is shelo lishma, meaning Balak's korbanos were originally to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. Did he have improper intentions? Yes, but there was an aspect of lishma to this idea. This would seem to raise a very big issue, because Bilam acted shelo lishma, and how come his shelo lishma in Bnei Yisrael wasn't successful? How come Balak's was successful and Bilam's was not successful? Let's look here at a question asked by Rashi and Tosos. This is a Tosos here in Brachos and Daf Yud Zayin, and also a Tosos again in Psachim. The Gemara in Brachos says, Ha'osa shelo lishma noach lo shelo nivra. A person who acts shelo lishma, not with the proper intentions initially, better to have not have been born at all. Asks Rashi and Tosos, how could that be? How could it be when we know shelo lishma bal lishma? That seems to be positive. Shelo lishma roi shelo nivra, better he shouldn't have been born. So Rashi hints to this. Rashi says, Perush eino lomed kedei lakayim ela lakanter. He doesn't learn for any positive reason, to learn just for the sake of learning, or even if he's going to get kavod or money, or he doesn't do chesed because he thinks that he wants kavod as well, but rather the person who shouldn't have been born is someone who is lekanter. He uses the Torah, he uses mitzvot, he uses chesed in order to hurt other people. Says Tosis there, and again, Imsachem. Vim Tomar Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Perek Makom Shenagu La'olam Yasa Gadam B'Torah V'Mitzvos Afiyu Shalosh Shema Shemitoch Shalosh Shema Balosh Shema V'Yesh Lomar Tehacha Mari She'enu Lomi El Lekanter Chavero V'Hasa Mari Shalom En Amas She'chabduhu. There are three levels, say Tosos. There is someone who learns Lishma. That's the best. Someone who does Chesed or Mitzvos Lishma. Then in the middle is someone who learns Shalo Lishma. A person learns and does Chesed or Mitzvos because he wants money, he wants kavod, he wants to have friends, he wants to get something free out of it, whatever it is. That's not great, but hopefully something will build from that. But a person who's lekanter, a person who uses Torah so he can go and hurt other people, a person learns Torah so he can now go to the shir and make fun of the rabbi, a person does chesed so he can take advantage of people and then extort them for money, a person who does mitzvos so that he can take advantage of people and hurt them in a terrible way later on, that's lekanter. That person has no peace of Torah and mitzvot and chesed, because that's worse. To use Torah as a weapon to hurt other people, that is totally not appropriate. And therefore, says the Maharsha, there on the Gemara in Horios, Bilam was lekanter. And therefore he wasn't successful. Balak had a different aspect. Balak was looking out for his own people. He wanted to make sure his nation was safe. He saw this Bnei Yisrael coming, and he wanted to make sure his nation was safe. And he wasn't lekanter. It was Shalo Lishma, but it wasn't lekanter. Bilam was lekanter. He wanted to go and hurt people. He wanted to go and hurt Klal Yisrael, and that is what turns it around. His aspects of Shalo Lishma, perhaps when he took the money, perhaps at a different point, became something that was lekanter, and therefore ruined all of his endeavors. Rav Schwab adds to what he said before, and he tells us that the antidote to something that is sincerely Shalo Lishma, and someone sincerely Lishma, and they're coming to hurt us, whether it be ISIS, whether it be enemies in other areas of the world, who are acting in their mind Lishma, these people who want to come and hurt Klal Yisrael, and want to hurt the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael, outside of Eretz Yisrael, many of them are so dangerous and so harmful because they think what they're doing is Lishma. They're doing a L'shem Shemayim, that the Jewish people should be gone from the world should be rid of the Jewish people, there should be no Eretz Yisrael, there should be no place for us, and they think they're doing something that's L'shem Shemayim. They're not, might necessarily be doing it to pocket money or for the benefit of themselves. These people are sick, and they think that they're doing something with the benefit of the world, and therefore, that could be, according to the Tiferes Yisrael, why they're so successful, and why they have legs on the ground, running and accomplishing so many things. It could be, says Rav Schwab, the answer is to act in ways that are lishma, to increase our abilities. Lamashal, in Russia, when all this was going on, there were incredible Jewish people who were accomplishing incredible things. I highly recommend Rabbi Benjamin Zilber's autobiography, To Remain a Jew. It is most incredible. This single man and his family kept Torah and mitzvos, taught Torah and mitzvos, under the thumb and the heel of the worst aspects of the Communist Party. And he accomplished amazing things, and he made a difference in the lives of hundreds of people. Why? Because he was Lishma. No ulterior motive. Do you think it was fun for him to have to run and try to figure out how to not be Mechal Shabbos when he could have found Heterim to be, allow himself to be Mechal Shabbos? And he would think it was fun that he have to go and walk miles in order to go to a mikvah or to go to shul or to learn Torah and all the schemes and the plans he came up with just to teach Torah Hashem, to do chesed, to do mitzvos. An incredible story, an incredible biography of Rav Binyamin Zilber. And says Rav Schwab, maybe that's what comes and uproots people who try to hurt us who are lishma, when we do things for the right movement, and we do things for the right intention. It is hard, it is difficult sometimes to sit down and say, a person wants to learn because it's not going to make me look good, it's not going to make me look special, or for money, things like that. It's difficult, but we need to be so careful in trying to find some aspect of our avodas Hashem, whether it's chesed, whether it's a mitzvah, that we can say to ourselves and we can say to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, honestly, I'm doing it for the pure sake of wanting to come close to Hashem and wanting to do the Ratzon Hashem. Because these mitzvos and these acts of chesed are so powerful. If Bilam could have had the koach to come and curse the Jewish people, lahavdil, to imagine what we can do with a chesed that's done, not because someone will see us do it, not because it will make us look extra special and extra kind, but we do the chesed because nobody knows about it and we want people to feel good and to feel good about themselves. Or we do mitzvah in a way that we totally lishma. I come to daven in the morning, I put on tefillin on time, not because I want to look, you know, very religious. I don't want to be embarrassed that I walked into shul late. I come on time to daven because it's reason I deal in the mitzvos, and I want to be here first to connect to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. They have tremendous potential, and we have tremendous power in all these things. It should be the Ratzon Hashem that we find opportunities to fulfill mitzvos lishma and be able to remove the powers that come to hurt us in ways that are lishma and to uproot them from the world.